and welcome to another edition of Pigeons with me, Yulani Wickham Ashby. And today I have a very special guest as we start the month of May, which is usually celebrated in Barbados as Child Month. And I have a young mother who's willing to have a serious conversation with me as we look about parenting, what it is like, what her experience has been, and of course, the challenges. Let me say a very special welcome to Danielle Holder. Welcome to the program, Danielle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Danielle, let's start by just letting our listeners know a little about who is Danielle.
Well, I am Danielle. I'm a 29-year-old mother and mother of two beautiful daughters. I am a nursing student, and I have been diagnosed with a few chronic medical conditions, namely being type 1 diabetes, systemic lupus, arthritis. The list goes on a bit more than that, but along those lines.
Okay, Danielle, so can you share with us what your journey has been like after you were diagnosed with lupus and diabetes and arthritis? What has it been like coping and managing these conditions?
Well, initially, I had been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes first. And that would have been when, I was already in secondary school, I was going into second form. So that was around that time. It had been extremely challenging to me initially after I had my first daughter. Reason being that the pregnancy in itself was a bit challenging, due not really to the diabetes, but because of another condition that came about due to pregnancy called hyperemesis gravidarum. So I was vomiting all the time. Whatever I ate or drank or smelt, I was just throwing up all the time. So as a result of that, it caused me to have a lot of different episodes of dehydration as well as low blood sugar. So that was the main part, the pregnancy. After having my first daughter, I was a little worried in terms of how I would be able to cope in the event that I have hypoglycemic episodes, which are the low blood sugar episodes, while looking after her and stuff. But thankfully, through the support of my mother, my family, and my very close friends, that was somewhat tapered. Like, in the event I would have gotten up or not gotten up, because sometimes my sugar could drop while I'm asleep. Usually, if that happens, my mother usually checks on me after she gets up on my nose. So if my sugar drops during that time and she realizes, then she would come and do what's necessary to help get me back on my feet. Know that my first daughter is much older. She usually does the checks as well. And if she realizes that, oh, mommy, I look too worried, let me go and check on thick throat. If she sugar good, she would come and check. Or if I the whole loopy or out of it, she would check the blood sugar for me. Or if she would go and bring some candy or juice or whatever, if I am not as oriented as I would normally be.
Okay, so Danielle, you shared what it has been like and the support that is needed and that you do receive. So I'm really pleased to know that your family support is there. And as we usually say within the community, yes, we need some friends to also lend the support of the family. Let's talk about your emotions as you have been going through this journey, because it hasn't ended.
No, it certainly has not.
Right. What have your emotions been like? How would you say you've dealt with the concerns, the sadness, the grief, the happy moments? How have you really managed all of these emotions as you think of yourself as a young woman with motherhood on your doorsteps?
Well, I seem to be coping a little bit better since being diagnosed with SLE a few years ago. I was extremely ill, and after being discharged from hospital after a good while, I felt as though I was really unsure of what to do. I'm checking my notifications, but I had to receive physiotherapy to be able to walk again. And I still had to wait for my body to start catching back itself. So after that, there was the worry too of like the other way that lupus tends to work with some people, as in you have flares and they can be caused by numerous things. Some people even seem to get them without any cause that they would be able to identify straight away. But my worry was if I have a serious flare, I mean, I became accustomed to the mild ones, but if I have a serious flare, how am I going to be able to do what needs to be done? Yes, I know I have the support of my mother, my father, my sister, my best friends, and even other friends, but how am I going to be able to manage in terms of, first, a lot of people don't seem to be able to understand the same lupus as it is. Systemic lupus is a multi-system disease. It can affect any organ within the body. With some persons, it may only affect one or two, and with others, anything is possible. So sometimes I would be extremely fatigued or experiencing severe pain that have me to the extent that I just even be trying to figure out, oh my gosh, I ain't get it to do what it's got to do. On those days, what I realized made sense is to like calculate your daily living activities that you would have to do for the day. Think about what if you have to do, what is most necessary for that day. Prioritize and do those things. Other times, if I find that I have a busy week or I have a whole lot of things, a whole lot of errands to run, I usually try on the days that I am feeling the strongest to collectively do everything. Problem is, after I take and I cluster those activities and I do all those things within that time, then the following days after that, I am of no use to myself. But thankfully, my oldest daughter, she's able to understand how all of that works. My younger daughter, she's just a baby. So I will manage my best with her. But when I am unable to, then either my mother or my eldest daughter would chip in to help with the other stuff.
But Danielle, some people might be thinking to themselves or maybe even aloud, say, you have these chronic conditions and you've had a child and now you've gone and have a second child. What would be your reaction to sentiments expressed like those?
Well, firstly, that was not my intent, but that has just shown me that even though I at times am so unwell, that through the help of God, I was able to still be able to conceive and to birth my girls. My sentiment exactly to that is that if it had not been part of God's plan, I don't think anything of the sort would have been able to happen, due not only to the diabetes, but also with the SLE.
All right. So, Danielle, can you share with us what your partner, or rather how he felt knowing that you have these conditions and became pregnant?
Well, his main concern was how I'm going to fare in the pregnancy in itself, in the pregnancies. And then the other piece was if it could affect the baby in terms of development or afterbirth or anything like that. But thankfully, neither of my children have been affected by it. Thankfully, all the glory goes to God there. And the pregnancy part as well. Still to go with the hyperemesis gravidarum, I was still able to fare relatively well with that. Even though the second pregnancy too was very challenging again due to that same condition. That is not really as a result of diabetes or the SLE. That is just a condition that some pregnant ladies tend to develop.
Okay. So let us talk now a little more about what it is truly like coping with your impairments, your disabilities in Barbados, because obviously you have to do several tasks, not only for your children, but for yourself, and moving around, going to different agencies for various services. What has that been like managing to do these tasks with your conditions?
Well, thankfully, the Diabetes and Hypertensive Association, they have always been a great help for me, especially that was a good few years ago when I had first gotten diagnosed with diabetes. That's the first association I would have joined and all of that. So they had always been there, willing to help. Said if you have any questions, any concerns, if you're feeling ill, you don't know what's going on, if you come in, you could call, you could check in. And they always would try to facilitate you as much as they possibly could. Now, with the SLE, there is the Hope Foundation. And the Hope Foundation deals with other chronic conditions, such as the lupus, as I said before. Then there is sickle cell trait, rheumatoid arthritis, those sorts of things. That's what the Hope Foundation usually focuses on. And they too have done a great deal for me, especially when I first came to the hospital after being diagnosed. I remember they had called me in for an appointment and we received a whole package to help, like, try to keep track of what is going on in my health in terms of it was a blood pressure monitor, a thermometer, some strips, all those kinds of things, so that you would input those things. I think it was every 2 weeks. Yeah, every 2 weeks, you would input the information of what it is that was happening and the vitals that you would have done into their system, and it would be updated on their system so that they could keep track and monitor and be able to see best how it is everything is tracking along with you. And they also hold appointments for you as well.
Fantastic. And I think sometimes we underestimate and undervalue the work of NGOs like the Diabetes Association, the Hope Foundation, and other charities that are supporting persons living with chronic illnesses, disabilities, and so on. So I want to say congratulations to them and encourage them to keep the good work up.
And that's true. Thank you very much.
Now, as a young mother, as a young woman, you have a vision for yourself. You're pursuing nursing.
Yes,
How
please.
has that experience been like? Do you think with your chronic conditions, you will be able to practice nursing?
I really and truly was hoping to be able to do it practically, but based on how things have been going, I believe I might more have to go through the administrative route of nursing due to the different things that happened with my health and yeah, the whole workup of that and the issues that come along with that. But I really would like if I start to get a whole lot better to be able to practice as a nurse.
So I'm seeing that this is your passion,
Yes, it
and
is.
even though you may not be able to practice nursing in the hospital or in a polyclinic or a health center, you would still want to be performing a role in the nursing arena,
Yes,
the administrative side of it. How challenging, difficult is that in terms of you being a young nurse coming into administration? Most of these professions, you tend to do the practical part of the work and then,
first, yes,
yes,
please.
and then be elevated, promoted up to the administrative level.
Yes, please. I really am not too sure of how that piece will go, but I am praying that it does go in my favor. I am hoping, yes, as you said, about working practically first and then coming along through the administrative route. But I am just hoping that if possible, when I'm finished, either the illness goes into remission even before then, so that I could do the practical piece then and then work my way through into the administrative side.
Okay, so Danielle, you talk about lupus, and as you correctly said, I don't think many persons, many listeners, have a full understanding of how lupus affects the health, how lupus can damage the body. Can you share a little more and just explain how lupus has affected you? As you also
New
noted,
notification
sometimes
from.
it affects each individual differently. How has
Yes.
it impacted you?
Okay. Well, with mine, with the time I would have been diagnosed, because I seem to have been having flares long before then, years before then. But with me, how it would have started is that I just started getting extremely exhausted. Like some days I would get up, I have no energy. I would just have to get up and sit down and try to figure out, what is this supposed to do now? Like, I would be so bagged out that even going to take a bath sometimes is so draining that when it's done, I have to come and sit back down. I catch by myself to move. But that wasn't the only symptom I would have experienced. I also started to have some swollen joints, like in my hands and my fingers, my hip, my shoulder, my toes, my knee, even my ankles began swelling up. That pain was excruciating. And the pain I was having it all about the body, but especially in the bottom of my feet, on the soles of my feet. And from there, I also had a lot of digestive involvement because I started vomiting a lot. It was extremely nauseous. I couldn't keep down much of anything. And all of that was affecting my blood sugar because lupus is a disease where parts of the body become inflamed. And when areas become inflamed, so you would get stuff like fevers, your body would think that is an infection. And with lupus, it is like your immune system is working really hard. It's strong. But the problem is that it identifies the wrong things as the targets. So it would be looking at healthy tissues in the body, parts that good, organs that fine, and decide to attack it. So my digestive system was affected. My kidneys were affected as well because I had to go on dialysis for a little bit. The doctors were a little concerned about involvement with my heart. And my skin was also affected because I ended up getting a lot of rashes and stuff coming up on my arms. But the only issue was usually with most persons, they get a rash in the face called a malar rash, a butterfly rash. But I had not had that for the entire time that I would have known or had have been diagnosed or even before then. I have not had that butterfly rash, but I would get other host of symptoms. And usually sometimes each flare, especially when it's serious, to me it tends to differ somewhat. I don't always have the same parts being affected, the same organs being affected. The last flare that I had was affecting my blood. It was destroying my platelets. And with that came like a lot of bruising and a lot of pain and stuff too, and a lot of bleeding in the mouth, and just a lot of bleeding. It was just new.
Right, and challenging for you. Yeah. How have you managed the pain? Because I've heard you reference to this excruciating pain that you experienced. How have you been able to manage that, that you're still fairly comfortable?
Truly, I don't think I am. I'm not as comfortable as you say. I saw. Well, with the pain, a lot of the pain medications, the analgesics that I would have had, or that I use sometimes when I am experiencing the extreme pain, they don't say much. Most of the time, they just make me drowsy. So really, I don't like feeling drowsy. I don't like feeling out of it. I would try my best to manage the pain as much as I could. Or I would try some other type of method in terms of, like, I drink a lot of ginger and stuff to see if that would help and ease the pain, because after doing some research, a lot of people have said that ginger helps with things like that. I do some aromatherapy as well. And a lot of the aromatherapy tends to calm somewhat, but depending on the pain level, it would just lessen down a little bit. And then if the pain is to the point that really and truly I can't handle it, then I would take the medication. But I try my best not to use a lot of pain medications, because a lot of these things tend to be very addictive, and not only that, they tend to have really negative effect on other parts of the body. So even though it might be helping in that one area, oftentimes they will be damaging elsewhere.
Okay, so we understand that side effects do come from medication, and it's for us to be conscious and be able to determine, you know, the best approach, the best method. Now, Danielle, I must say that you have a very positive attitude, and I think that is extremely beneficial to anyone who's experiencing illness impairments, disabilities, you know, challenges. How have you been able to maintain such positive attitude?
Mainly through my mother and my babies. My mom is always telling me to try and look on the brighter side. Things could be much worse than they are, because you might be in a very bad situation or in a poor situation. Oftentimes, there are people that are much worse off than you. So I try my best to think of it like that. Then there's also the part of my daughters. They help to uplift me as well. Not to mention my friends. My friends play a major role too, especially when I'm really out of it. They're always there for me as well. So like, if I'm feeling like depressed or anything, they'll come along, take me for rides, come to me at the hospital, come and show me at home, take me and the girls out for a drive, or we just go, or anything like that. As well as my daughter's father, he also plays a major role. So thank you guys. Thank you, Shanice and Jody.
Fabulous, fabulous. And this is what is needed in most of our lives, to have that steady, loving, you know, support from family and friends. It helps with maintaining balance mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically as well. So that is great. Now, you talked about your nursing. What other goals, what other hopes do you have for yourself?
Well, one that is in the forefront just after the nursing is a home. Just housing. Besides that, I just want to make sure my family and myself and all of my loved ones, I just hope that we can live as comfortably as possible. Once everybody good. I mean, even though I would be still experiencing some pain, or hopefully I won't be experiencing any at all. Once I know that everybody good, usually I am cool. I am contented.
Right. So let's now continue the conversation looking at young mother, two young children. How would you say you're able to perform your duties as a mother, your responsibilities? Because sometimes people have the misconception, the misguided idea that once you have a chronic illness, once you have a disability or an impairment, that you will be unable to really parent effectively. Speak to that.
Well, in my opinion, there are many people who do not have chronic illness and might not be impaired otherwise that are our parents and still have plenty challenges, oftentimes challenges due to certain actions or behaviors in their control. But for me, if I am feeling able enough, I do as much as I possibly can. Even when I'm not able to, I still try my best to do as much as I possibly can for my family and to make sure that everything is going as it should or functioning in the best possible way so that everybody is as happy as they can be, so I can be as happy as I can be too. But I think a lot of people need to get the understanding that we are all individuals. And as individuals, we all have different experiences and different perceptions of things. So because my health might be challenged, that does not necessarily mean that I cannot be as good a mother as I ought to be to my children.
The other side of that is, some people also express concern about children in that caregiving role. What would your comments be in relation to that?
Even though it is giving care, I get what you mean with the caregiving role, but to me, it shows a particular level of understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. It shows a maturity to me. I remember when my first daughter was much younger, she would always ask, oh, you're taking blood sugar. Tell me what it's supposed to be. These numbers, and they had to get you the whole rundown. And then after a couple of things, she would come and she would make some guesses and stuff, and they would ask me more questions of what was going on with the diabetes and stuff. And now She is on the ball. She is on the ball with it. But I get the whole, you mean as if it is putting too much pressure on the children. But I have asked my daughter already if I feel like I'm putting too much pressure on her relating to me being sick at times or me being unwell. And she says she wants to make sure that her mommy good. She loves her mommy, so she wants to make sure that she's with her for as long as she needs to be.
I think it is natural for children, just like the adults, to want to give support and help to those that they view may be, you know, needing that help and support at that moment. So I don't have an issue with it either, but it's just about creating that balance and making sure that, you know, you don't overload.
Overwhelm, yes, please. That's true.
Yes. Now, as a mother as well, you will also have visions and plans and ideas about how you would want to see your children develop and meet the various milestones as they grow. So how are you feeling in terms of when you look at yourself and your condition and how your children are growing?
Well, I am pleased. I am pleased not only pertaining to the development physically, in terms of health and all of that, and the milestones that you spoke about, but in terms of character, especially my older daughter, because I can't really pick up that in yet, it's a baby, but in terms of character and certain attributes that I see within her, I am very pleased with. Yes, sometimes people might get influenced as they grow older by other individuals or by peers and stuff like that. But I will try my best to keep her on the right track, and especially through the help of the Most High, through prayer. I pray that God will help keep her along the guided path she is to walk. She's also doing pretty well on that role as well in terms of her path with Jesus.
Danielle, throughout the conversation, you have spoken very highly and lovingly of your mom and her support to you, as well as your sister. And I would really want you to express your love and your thoughts around your mom especially.
I am truly grateful for my mother. She has been there for me from the very beginning. Even before the said diagnosis of the type 1 diabetes, she was there when we initially thought about the lupus. That was a few years before the diabetes diagnosis. And the lupus had not been diagnosed then. But then we came to find out those few years ago that I most likely had the lupus all that well, and that would have been what caused the type 1 diabetes. But I'm very glad mommy has helped me. I remember there were days that I could not even walk. So at that point, I had to walk to school. And mommy was standing with me. She would give me some medication for the pain, and she will try to push you back. Don't walk me low to school. And usually by the time as I got there, the pain would have eased up a bit because the medication would have started working and stuff. And I would have been able to think, oh, we used to do so much for me in primary school. Then in secondary school, she was doing the same. She would try so hard and make sure that I doing what needs to be done in terms of my health, and I am maintaining good habits all from then all through now. She does that not only with me, but with her grandchildren. She does as well. Thank you very much, mommy. And a thank you to Deirdre, my sister. She has done quite, she's done so much. She has helped me a lot, especially after this diagnosis. She has done a lot to help make sure that I am on the better half of things when I'm in the hospital and stuff. She's always there to make sure that I have that support.
And this is what family love, family support, this is what it's all about. Love, the practical aid of love, where you're able to help the individual at that particular point in need. Now, Danielle, as we get closer to the end of the program, I want to ask you, what do you do for fun?
I honestly cannot tell you. I can't remember. I don't know the last was... thing. The most I would say no within the past couple of months, probably go for drives. Yes, oh, I'll go for drives with my friends, or we would spend some time watching TV, just hanging out, catching up. Yeah, that's most of it.
Okay, but that is therapeutic, that is relaxing, and it gives you the opportunity to have some fun filled, you know, easy,
yeah, some good laughs.
Yes, and as well to admire the beauty of our country. Yes, well, Daniel, it really has been good chatting with you and learning a bit more about you.
Yes,
the essential support that is needed from the family to help the individual to thrive like you. And I am wishing you all success and God's blessings as you continue to pursue your professional career. And
thank you.
Openings will be there allowing you to contribute to the profession.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby, and my special guest today, Danielle Holder. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or via Starcom on 1-246-430-7300 by email, visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can go on the VOB929.com website to listen to this program and previous episodes. So until next week, have a fabulous and productive time.